Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. I've just been posting my brand new paperback, The Deep Freeze, all over the place. It's available. It's a paperback. I mean, the Kindle version is already, it's been available since, I don't know, 5 years or something, but the paperback, I just published the paperback, self-published on Amazon. And, I'm proud of it. I'm just proud of it. I could jump up and shout and say, I've got this thing done. It's a paperback, you know, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty decent piece of work. I've written it years ago. So, you know, 5, 6 years ago, and I've been writing ever since. I think I probably have gotten a little bit better as a writer. So if you compare the Deep Freeze with something like, Maxine Monroe or Dracula or something to that effect, you know, some of the other things that I've done, my autobiography, I've done that, Echoes of My Sins. A lot of the stuff that I've done in the past 5, 6, 7 years ago, I'm a better writer now. So, you know, but you know what? You can always get the gist of that stuff. And I understand that my books are actually, I got about 5 or 6 of them, paperbacks. And my understanding is that they are available, and the ebooks are also available in the Amazon stores, physical stores that you can walk into, right? And that's great. That's wonderful. I just love, one of the things I love about the books, the paperbacks, that the covers, I choose the covers. I do everything. I write every iota of any book out there that has my name on it. Believe me, it's all me. I'm not trying to. Yeah, but okay, so I'm tooting my own horn, okay? but I'm not being facetious or overly bragging about it. You know, I've done, but everything you see on one of my books or ebooks is me. I've done everything. Every font, every character, every word. I mean, it's me. You know, I do everything myself for my books because I feel that I have the ability to do those things and not I edit it. Whether it's a great edit or not, I'm the editor, I'm the drafter. You know, I very seldom outline anything I do. Outlining to me is like rehearsal. I don't like to rehearse. I like to just jump right in there at it. A lot of people do. But I'm very proud of the Deep Freeze. And if you go to Amazon and to my Amazon page, you can, you know, you don't have to buy anything. You just browse, you know, just browse there and just tell me, what do you think? You know, especially look at the Deep Freeze. I got all kind of stuff up there. You know, it's good reading, folks. It take your mind away from some of the mess that's going on in the world. In the world. So you hook me up on Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr. Just type my name up there in the audio bar, click, and you know, voila. But one of the things I understand about being in a bookstore among 1,000 other books, you know, if somebody picks your book out of a crowd, even if they just pick it up to look at it and not buy it, that tells you right then and there that your book was impressionable enough to get a pair of eyes on it. And actually someone picks it up and hold it in their hands and turn it over and read, you know, the stuff that's on the back, is gratifying. And I just love that Amazon, from my understanding, they're opening another store in another part of America, and this will be their seventh store. While other stores are closing their doors big time, I mean, we got some of the most popular name brand stores closing their doors. Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, Staples. I mean, I have a list here, but Amazon seems to be expanding in all of this. And I'm proud to be a part of Amazon. I really, really, truly am. I'm proud to be a part of it. And believe it or not, Amazon is helping me to push my material. And I totally, totally appreciate that. I mean, I don't think I could do it without them. But all my books are self-published. I do it myself. There's no agent. There's no publishing company. And I used to have an agent and a publishing company at the very beginning of my writing career, but I learned better and I tossed away those things and I started doing things for myself because I'm capable of doing whatever they can do for my book, I can do it for myself. And I can save tons and tons and tons of money, tons and tons and tons of probably headaches because you know, I had a publishing company that edited my book and they did a shoddy job of edited one of my books, one of my mini books, and they did a shoddy job. And since then I said, hey, whoa, no. They didn't just do a shoddy job at editing. There were symbols and things in my book that I didn't put there, you know, all kinds of things that shouldn't be there, that weren't words, okay? Symbols or some kind of, you know. And I said, oh my God, look at this. They done screwed up my book. And since then, I never, ever wanted anybody to touch one of my books, editing my books, drafting my books, outlining my books. I can do those things myself. If I'm going to goof up, if I'm going to make a mistake, if I'm going to be shoddy, let me be shoddy with my own work. I don't need to hire people to pay people money for them to screw up my book worse than what it already is, you know? And, but anyway, I'm just proud of the Deep Freeze. I'm proud of everything that I've done. So you guys, check out my Amazon page on Amazon. Just type in my name, George Wilder Jr. You don't have to buy anything unless you want to. You can always download a sample. You can read a sample and make up your mind. And it's hard work, folks. I'm not going to say writing. When you're doing everything yourself, it is super duper hard work. You have to focus. You have to think. You have to, and you have to be a little crazy at times. But, in the end, it's all worth it. It's all work is worth it. So if anybody out there thinking about being a writer, go for it. I think I talked about writing on the show yesterday, but I done just about forgot everything I've talked about yesterday on the show, unless I actually go back and listen to the show myself and find out. But anyway, if you want to be a writer, go for it. And to be a writer, all you have to do is just write. If you feel that you can't write, you've got people with law degrees, you got people with master's degrees, PhD degrees, and can't write a lick. And they will tell you that they can't write. I think I've ran into a few on my Facebook page that said they couldn't write. They could write their name and maybe a letter or a brochure or a memo, but when it came to actually writing a book or even a short story, they couldn't do it. It wasn't there. And it's not like they were dumb or they were stupid or they were uneducated or anything. It's just some people just don't have the talent to write. But you'll never know if you have that talent to write or if you do not have that talent to write if you do not try. If you do not try. It's fun. For me, it's fun because I try to make writing fun. If it was boring or dull or just plain old, not interesting, I would not do it. And I don't encourage you to do something that's boring. But I make it fun. I make it exciting because I write the kinds of things that I would want to read, But it's a lot. It is a lot of writers out here that can't write, but they can't write, but I don't want to put down any writer because I want people to, if you feel like you want to be a writer, write. But the first and foremost, I'm going to give you a tip. The first and foremost thing you have to do to be a good writer or a great writer is to read other great writings. You have to go back, research, go to the library, read the kinds of books that you want to write, read the kinds of stories that you want to write, and read other authors who write similar things to what you would like to write. It's fun. It's energetic. And I think it's a stress buster, I think it's one of the ways you can reduce stress, because especially if you make it fun, you make it exciting, you make it an event, you're writing, it's an event and, whatever. And once you write, try to get it published. I've known and heard about so many writers who love to write, but then they don't want to show their stuff. I've had people who were writers and authors who didn't want to come on the show and talk about their books, all because they were afraid to. They were embarrassed. They were nervous. So they are authors. They constantly write. They constantly publish, but they will not promote any of their material because they're nervous. They're ashamed. They're bashful, they're shy or whatever. I learned a long time ago, if you're bashful and if you're shy, you're apprehensive about something, you're not going to get anywhere. You cannot move along in life being shy, bashful. You're going to lose. Totally, you're going to lose. In this day and age, you have to be out there. you got to be out there. All right. On this marquee, it says, I call it the marquee. It's actually my studio, but I call it the marquee because, you know, because it's my show. I can call it the marquee. Okay. Author Mindy McCourse is going to be on the show today. Hopefully she'll be here. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air. Guest Mindy McCourse. Yeah, that's horse. McCourse. All right. Negative thoughts that enter your mind, don't mind entering. If you don't mind, in other words, try not to think negative thoughts. Negative thoughts brings on negative action. So you don't want that. You don't really want that. All right. It is sunny and bright. It looks like a summer day outside. I'm in my studio looking out onto the avenue, and I'm near the lake. And it looks like a spring day. It feels like a winter day, but it looks like spring. Not that much of a wintry day, but it doesn't feel like too much like spring. But it looks like spring. You know, you ever notice those days where it looks like it's great, nice, and wonderful outside? It looks beautiful. Then you go outside, you step outside the door, and you start to freeze your ass off. Then you're rushing back in. Wow, I should have stayed in the house. It's cold. All right, there's some news just been thrown across my desk saying that there is more people leaving the city of Chicago. The population is down. I've said this before, maybe a year or two ago, that the population was decreasing in the city of Chicago because of all the problems that we are having here with the schools, the budget, the mayor, the governor, you know, and a lot of these are playing a part in folks exiting Chicago. And I don't blame them. I mean, I really don't blame them. This should say something to the politicians of this city. People aren't going to take and stand what you're doing. People are not going to stand up and take it. Pay all your damn taxes. Deal with the corruption. Public schools are a mess. And it's caused by adults, not the children that are attending these schools. Adults are messing over the children. I don't blame people from leaving this city. I truly don't. But you know what? Will it send a message to the politicians in this city? Nope. They don't give a damn. They're just going to tax them, put some more taxes on the people who decide to stay. But I'm going to tell you something. The majority of the people who decide to stay in Chicago are the ones who actually can't afford to leave. If they can't afford to leave Chicago, then they can't afford to pay all these goddamn taxes that these people want us to pay. You know? I've said this before, Chicago right now, as it stands, is the third largest city in America, with the decline in population every few months or every year. This city is going to become the fourth largest state in America. We're sinking because we're losing population. And I just got through saying, I understand. I would probably say encourage them to leave too. Give these damn politicians who aren't doing anything but destroying the city, destroying the state. Crime is off the hook. Where are the police when you need them? Nowhere around. The only time you see the police is after the fact, after someone has been shot. Then they're all over the place. But before this happened, they were nowhere to be found. And then they start blaming the person's environment. They're uneducated. They were bad parented. It's enough of the excuses from the Chicago Police Department not to be able to solve crimes. People are getting robbed on the street. Gangbangers and thugs are walking up to people and shooting them point blank in the head. Where is the police on this? Why? I've said this before. Why? why doesn't the mayor make crime, solving crime in the city of Chicago, his number one priority? The guy will not do that. I mean, I'm not the first one to bring that up to this guy. I mean, I can't talk to him. I can just say it on the radio and hope someone somewhere is listening that can, you know, tell them about that. People are pissed off. And it's a good thing, because the more people leave Chicago, they can't get their high ass taxes. These people done taxed everything in Chicago. You can't buy, you can't, they're taxing the bags that you get. That's pathetic when they have to tax the shopping bags. You go to the store, you gotta have something to put your food in. You need a bag, you gotta pay for it. They find everything in God's world to tax. You drinking soda, if you drink a Coke or a Diet Coke, they're gonna tax you by the how many ounces you drink or that you buy. Anything and everything that they can tax you on, they're gonna do it. And we have a property tax that was enacted, I think, about a year ago, two years ago, $580 million tax increase. $588 million, if I can get it right. $588 million of property tax. We got to pay for the schools, the pensions. What the hell is all of this? And you wondering why people are beating it up out of this city. You know, and something the politicians in the city of Chicago don't understand. If people are leaving, that means that these people aren't taking their tax dollars with them. And City Hall and Illinois will not get their hands on those taxes. Those people are taking those taxes with them. Chicago police and the Chicago, the mayor, they can't seem to find a way to solve crime. They can't even solve petty crime. Why are we paying these people? They can't solve crime. They can't even solve petty crime. These young thugs, these teenagers, these dirt bags, gangbangers are just all over the place. Chicago's up for grabs because the police department can't seem to do a damn thing. Why do we hire these people for? Why do we need them? If they're not doing anything, then why do we need them? You hardly see these people patrolling. You don't see them patrolling. Everybody, the only time you see police patrolling constantly is when something has happened, something, a homicide, something went awry, someone shot and killed someone else in a Pacific area. And then in that area, you're going to see police in droves patrolling. And as I always say, where are they? Because if they were patrolling these areas, this would prevent crime, because the bad guy would see the police officers patrolling and they would not, you know, commit this particular crime, because the police is there's a large presence of police in that area. But when the bad guys know that the police are not going to be there, the police haven't patrolled. Maybe they went around once or twice, if that. And then all of a sudden they're gone. The bad guys know when the police arrive. They know when the police go. They know where the police is going to be, and they know where the police is not going to be. This is why they commit so much crime. And they know that the police are hindered. The police are not going to stop them unless there is something suspicious about them. Even then, the police might not stop the bad guys who are standing on the corner. What do we need police for if they can't stop this petty crime? Lakeview, I mean, people are getting robbed and stuck up. Bad guys are walking up with guns in their hands, demanding the property of college students. Where are the police? They just hired 1,000 cops. Where are they? I'm in Chicago, and I hardly ever see a cop in this part of the town. The excuse is that the reason why I don't see too many cops over here on the north side where I have my studio doing the radio show, I'm hearing because less or no crime happens over here in this area. That's BS. If you're in the city of Chicago, when people in other states, in other countries, hear about crime in Chicago, they think of Chicago as a whole that is crime written. They don't think one side or the other is the culprit. They look at Chicago as a whole. Say, well, there's so much crime in Chicago. There's so much. They're not saying there's so much crime on the north side of on the north side of Chicago. There's so much crime on the west side, on the south side of Chicago. But there's no crime on the north side. They're not thinking that way. They're thinking Chicago has a high crime rate, period. That includes the north side. Yeah, I live on the north side of Chicago. We live on the north side of Chicago. Yeah, there is less crime or no crime on the north side of Chicago. Knock on wood, because I don't want to jinx that. But so far, there has not been as much crime on the north side of the city where I live as there is crime on the west and south sides of the city. But still and all, that's no suffice for me or anybody else or my family or anybody else who also live on the north side of the city of Chicago, because I've said this several times. Crime can happen anywhere, anytime, to anybody. It doesn't matter what side of the city you live on, or what suburb you live on, or what state you live on, or what city you live on, or where you are in America. Crime can happen to anyone at any time. The thing about it, we have to be vigilant. I agree with one reporter. People, young people, you have to put down the You have to put down your phones. And that's true. Young people, you have to pay attention to your surroundings. You have to pay attention to your environment, especially if you are in the city of Chicago or a city like Chicago. Crime happens everywhere, all over the world. But somehow Chicago just stands the hell out. It's not embarrassing, because Chicago is a beautiful, wonderful city. And these tax-hungry politicians ought to take heed to people packing their bags up and leaving. And I sure in the hell do not blame them at all. All. The only people who are staying in Chicago are most of the people are those who can't afford to live, can't afford to leave, because you have a lot of people on the south and west sides of the city who are living in squalor, who are living in poverty. They can't move. They don't have any money. They don't have enough money to move, because a lot of these folks, if they did, they would. They will get their kids out of that kind of environment. They will get their kids out of that environment if they could. It's just sad to see that people are leaving the city. If you go talk to Mayor Emanuel, he'll tell you, well, the tourism is up. He'll say those kinds of things. But I do know that it's very, very expensive to live in the city of Chicago. That's why you have a lot of homeless people in the city of Chicago, because they can't afford rent, let alone buy a house or decent car. Poverty is rampant. I mean, you've got all of these stores that are closing. A store closed, and I think there's almost 3,000 worldwide stores that are closing or have closed. Think of all the people that have been laid off from those closed stores or will be laid off. Like, we have some social programs in the city of Chicago that's going to be shut down by the end of this month. They're going to be closing their doors. And I'm not even talking about the ones who have already closed their doors because there is no budget. That's another topic to be discussed. What can I say? You know, I don't want Chicago to become a ghost town, but somebody has to tell these ignorant ass politicians that people are leaving the city of Chicago because they cannot get their acts straight. Another reason people are leaving Chicago, we have no state budget. And it's been for 3 years. There's no state budget. We don't even have outside students coming to enroll into our colleges and universities because they fear that not having a budget is going to interfere with their education. And the politicians are just sitting back, laughing and grinning, and we got some rotten politicians, not just in Chicago, but all over America, Washington D.C. We got some non-caring politicians. We got the Trump administration, a bunch of old white men being evil and mean toward the poor, the disabled, senior citizens. You name it. Honoree. And people are leaving the city of Chicago. Where are they going? A lot of people are probably going south or west. And when I say south and west, I'm talking about around America. The west, you know, near California and all that kind of thing. You know. So this is something that the politicians are going to have to grapple with, because you got a lot of lying ass, corrupt politicians who will lie to their constituency, the people, in a minute, in a heartbeat. And it's a shame that some of these people believe a lot of the hogwash that come out of their politician's mouth, because that's all it is, hogwash. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It looks like a really great day outside, folks. I'm gonna do this, and but it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not, because it's sunny. It's beautiful. It looks like a spring day, but you step outside and and you want to run back in really, really quick. You know, so
run. I don't know. We were going to have a little more fun tonight about this crazy name calling, but my God, this is much more important than the name calling, calling people, dead eyes. What's his name or whatever latest little moniker he throws at somebody. Mueller's not going to be best with it. Mueller's now getting this information as we're getting it. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of stuff indicating obstruction of justice. All that Nixon did, although it was criminal and cost him his office, was have the CIA say, we're into this case, FBI, get out of it. This is now 4 points of contact with the president saying, set me loose, free me.
Yeah, it's true. And I think we'd make a mistake, by the way, listening to the discussion you just had. I think we'd all make a mistake if we frame this in terms of a narrow issue of collusion between the Trump campaign, maybe even Donald Trump himself, and the Russians over the hacking. That sort of collusion was not necessary for the Russians to do what they did. But it's interesting to know that the FBI investigation seems to be broadening in scope. They're looking at financial crimes now, we're hearing. These investigations tend to go where the facts lead. And I think that they're looking at things that are much, much more than collusion. But the fact that Donald Trump is doing this, behaving in such a wildly inappropriate, if not downright illegal way, you know, I don't know what more, you know, what better indication there is that something is there. Something is there that he very much doesn't want people to know about.
Do you think he's, how do you think we are as a country right now with this president? What should we do?
We're in a, I think we're in a state of crisis. You know, we have the Russian collusion, the Russian, you know, tapping into the our democratic systems is a serious problem, but we've sort of got a handle on that. I mean, we know what happened there, and we know who did it. But the other part, the linked part of that crisis, is Donald Trump himself. This is a dangerously, emotionally, and mentally unstable individual here who is wholly ignorant about how you perform as president of the United States. And I think I've been watching from abroad for the last month here. I just got home a couple of days ago, but I think I've sensed a change in the coverage now. I think people are finally starting to come to grips, as we must come to grips, with the notion that we have a dangerous individual in the Oval Office who is a national security threat, and he needs to be removed from office. That's easy to say, but he's unfit, and he needs to be removed.
Ron, when your dad was president, we had an ideological fight in this country. You were part of it. You're on the liberal side, I believe, and everybody was comfortable in that because your father was a conservative, but he was a true conservative. He had written for years about a point of view. He had served as governor for 8 years. He's quite capable of doing the job, quite competent to do the job. The one sad thing I hate when I watch television, my show included, when people get on and it's a left-wing versus a right-wing thing, I don't think that's what it is right now. I think that's what we're missing. Yeah. It's not progressives against a conservative president. You know, if it was someone like Ted Cruz, that would be the case. This is not Ted Cruz. And this is something different, and I wish the Republicans on the moderate right and moderate and centrist right would say, he's our problem too, but why are they not talking?
Well, listen, Chris, when the history books are written about this period, and they will be, there are only going to be two sides. They're going to be patriots, and they're going to be partisans. They're going to be true Americans, and there are going to be people who are engaged in behavior, and I would throw Donald Trump into this category, engaged in behavior that can only be described as treasonable. It's not treason technically in the legal sense, but it is treasonable. They are taking Russia's side over the United States of America. Russia attacked us. What was Trump doing meeting those people in the Oval Office and bragging about anything to them?
I know.
You know, the pictures were absurd. He looked like some kid with a new kid in school and sucking up to the cool kids.
Ron, we don't have enough of you, sir. Thank you. Please come on again quickly. Thank you, Ron Reagan.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me.
All right. It's an infamous clip that's going around all over the place. It's of Donald Trump meeting NATO leaders. And you might have seen it. I mean, it's infamous. It's gone viral, as they say. It's let's see if I can't. They're talking about it now. Trump being nasty over there. He's in a crowd of world leaders, and he's kind of in the back. So he sort of pushes his way through the front. He puts his hands on some guy and pushes him, moves him out of the way, shoves him out of the way. And Trump barrels up front in front of the crowd, and he stands there as if he's, you know, God Almighty, or as if his face is on Mount Rushmore. Actually, what he's doing, he's trying to get to the camera. He's trying to get to the camera because he feels that he's better than those folks. I don't know if I'm explaining it properly, but Trump is an asshole. What can I say? If you saw this video, you probably say the same thing. It's viral, and it's all over the place. And Huffington Post is calling Trump NATO nasty, and it was nasty. It was nasty. It was awful. Trump barreling his way through a crowd, pushing people out of the way so he can get up front and get his face on camera because he's Donald Trump. I've said this several times on the show. Trump thinks about nobody but Trump. Trump doesn't give a shit about America. Trump cares about himself. It's himself that Trump cares about. That's it. And he acts so childish and so crappy when he's around world leaders. He acts as if he doesn't want to be there. He seems as though he doesn't want to sit next to them. He seemed like he's upset. He's crazy when you see him, and my goodness. when you see him in these photographs with these leaders overseas, he seems like he's disinterested, uninterested, not interested. And he seemed like he's pissed off at the world because he'd rather be someplace else. And I'd say, Trump, if you rather be someplace else, why did you go overseas in the first place? Well, he went overseas, from my opinion. The reason why Trump went overseas is to try to escape all these investigations that are coming up his rear. And they're always talking about leaks in the White House. Leaks, leaks, leaks. And I just said it. The leaks are coming from within the White House. The leaks are coming from his own party, the Republicans. He wants to say so bad that this is the Democratic that are leaking sensitive information. It's not. It's the Republicans who are leaking sensitive information. It very well could be Trump himself leaking classified information and trying to find a scapegoat. You know. And he's overseas right now lecturing leaders. He can't lecture nobody. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He's embarrassing us. That's what he's doing. Trump reportedly called Germans very bad, vowed to stop U.S.-German car sales. Oh, ain't that a damn shame. He can't stop car sales. Oh, wow. He has to have the Congress, and he has to have Congress and the American people on that. Trump's he constantly think that he has carte blanche over anything that he can do in the United States. He thinks because he's president, he can do anything he wants to do. He can't. He can't. He talks a lot and says a lot of things like he can snap his finger and this is going to be done. It can't. He has to go through Congress, even though it's ran by Republicans, but he still has to go through Congress. And Congress, they have to go through the American people. You know, so Trump is overseas, embarrassing, totally embarrassing the United States. And we all knew that would happen. We knew it would happen. And basically, he ran over there to get away from all these investigations. And it seems as though majority of these investigations are intensifying. They are intensifying. Okay, they are intensifying. Okay, all righty. See the millions of cars they are selling. This is Trump trying to say we're going to stop German car sales in the United States. He can't do that. He can't do that unilaterally, not by himself. The only thing that's going to stop German car sales in the United States is Americans themselves if they stop buying those cars. Trump. 71-year-old man acting like a 5-6-year-old child. It's ridiculous. Okay. All righty. We're going to, why can't we do this again? I want to do that Ashley Judd tape again, but there's so much profanity in it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are saying, wow, too much cursing on George show. Yeah, but let's do Trump's budget because it's ridiculous.
Sick and the poor to the top 1%. It follows in the footsteps of the Trump-Ryan health care bill, which gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest few while throwing 24 million Americans off of their health insurance and dramatically raising premiums for older workers. This is a budget which says that if you are the richest family in America, the Walton family, you can get up to a $53 billion tax break through the repeal of the estate tax. $53 billion tax break. But at the same time, it says that if you are a lower income senior citizen, you will not be able to get the one nutritious meal a day you now receive through the Meals on Wheels program or the help you desperately need if you are disabled. This is a budget that says that if you are the second wealthiest family in America, the Koch brothers family, a family that has contributed many hundreds of millions of dollars into the Republican Party, you may get up to a $34 billion tax break. But at the same time, if you are a working class student trying to figure out how you could possibly afford college, your dream of a college education will evaporate because of major cuts to student financial assistance programs. This is a budget which says that if you are a member of the Trump family, you may receive a tax break of up to $4 billion. But if you are a child of a working class family, you could well lose the health insurance you currently have through the Children's Health Insurance Program and massive cuts to Medicaid. At a time when we remain the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all, this budget makes a bad situation worse in terms of health care. In other words, this is a budget that provides massive tax breaks for billionaires and corporate CEOs and massive cuts to programs that tens of millions of struggling Americans depend upon. When Donald Trump campaigned for president, he told the American people that he would be a different type of Republican, that he would take on the political and economics establishment, that he would stand up for working people, that he understood the pain that families all across this country were experiencing. Well, sadly, this budget exposes all of that verbiage for what it really was, just cheap and dishonest campaign rhetoric that was meant to get votes. Nothing more than that. At a time when the very rich are already getting much richer, while the middle class continues to shrink, this is a budget for the billionaire class, for Wall Street, for corporate CEOs, and for the wealthiest people in this country. This is a budget which will make it harder for our children to get a decent education, harder for working families to get the health care they desperately need, harder for families to put food on the table, harder to protect our environment, and harder for the elderly to live out their retirement years in dignity. This is a budget that is immoral and that will cause an enormous amount of pain for the most vulnerable people in our nation. This is a budget that will be rejected by the American people and must not see the light of day here in Congress. John Yarmuth is the ranking member of the Budget Committee in the House. John, thanks a lot for being with us.
Senator, the budget released today by the Trump administration is shockingly extreme and the antithesis of what American people have said they want from their government. The president's budget leaves no question about what his administration values: greater gains for millionaires, corporations, and special interests at the expense of American families, economic progress, and our national security. It is a total embrace of the Robin Hood in reverse mentality we saw with the Republican health care repeal bill and the administration's tax proposal, both of which have been overwhelmingly rejected by the American people. This budget actually targets assistance for people with disabilities, cutting Social Security disability insurance, despite the president's pledge to not touch Social Security at all. Yes, the president's budget is a betrayal.
He's a liar.
A line-by-line tally of broken promises he made to the American people. But above all, it's a trail of broken dreams and the loss of hope and opportunity for millions of families. This budget starts by taking away health care, then food, then housing, then education, then job opportunities. For nearly every American family struggling to get ahead, this budget makes it that much harder, if not impossible. The level of cuts to investments that the American people need is astonishing, and the consequences of these cuts, as Bernie said, are frankly immoral. The Trump administration makes all these harmful cuts for one simple, disgraceful reason: to try to hide the fact that their huge tax breaks for millionaires, corporations, and special interests will explode the debt. And they even do this in a dishonest way. This budget relies on absurd economic projections and pretend revenues that no credible economist would validate. It provides no real information on their tax reform other than to claim that it's revenue neutral. I guess this is the president's believe me part of his budget. If Donald Trump used these budgeting techniques in his business, not even the Russians would invest in his projects. With all due respect to the president, we aren't going to take his word for it, particularly when no one else will. We have been down this road before, more than once. And all the evidence proves is that tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans do not pay for themselves. Instead, they explode our deficit, rob our country of needed investments, and make those at the top even richer. This is not what the American people want or deserve. The American people...
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight, you know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently, so let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. Some people are wondering why Trump's wife, Melania Trump, wore black to meet the Pope. Excuse me. You know, I'm not wondering why she wore black to meet the Pope because I really don't care. You know, I'm not thinking about delving into why she wore black. I mean, it's weird. It's strange. It's upsetting kind of because she's his wife, and he's off embarrassing the world. So I'm not going to even delve into it. I think black, I don't know. Maybe she's wearing black to saying, equating that it may be the death of Donald Trump's presidency. he may be dead as president in the United States, you know, metaphorically speaking. So, you know, wearing black because, you know, I don't know. Donald Trump takes his brand of chaos to Europe. Of course he does. I mean, he's embarrassing the United States. He's embarrassing you, me, and everybody else. Even the Republicans who are aiding and abetting his crimes. You know, he's embarrassing them. I guess every time he does something, open his mouth, I know some of them guys and girls who are licking Trump's feet. Are cringing right now every time he does something because they have to go out and try to explain everything away. They have to go out and try to defend everything he does, everything he says, even though later on he's going to open his mouth and confirm everything, you know, and they're going to look bad and say, well, we're trying to defend him, but he will not let us because he keeps opening his big mouth. So, and I don't know. He's like a little bully. I mean, if you saw this video where Trump literally puts his hands on a world leader, pushes this guy out of the way while he barrels on up front for a photo op, is ridiculous. 70, 71-year-old man acting like a 5, 6-year-old child. I'm Donald Trump. I should be in front. I want to get in front of the TV cameras. This, folks, I am not lying about this. If you haven't heard about it, this is my second time speaking about it. If you haven't heard about it, go online, get on the computer. I mean, watch your world news or whatever, your local news. They are going to have it. Go on CNN. And it's all over the place. I'm not joking. You know, this is not doctored or anything to that nature. This is Donald Trump being the bully that he is, an embarrassment to the United States. And as I've stated earlier, the investigations into his Russian meddling into the 2016 election and other things has just intensified. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is in trouble. His son-in-law, the person that's in the White House with him, Jared Kushner reportedly draws the interest of the FBI in Russia investigation. Kushner has come under scrutiny because of contacts with Russian officials. So this campaign, Donald Trump's entire campaign, these people are guilty of treason, obstruction, you name it, corruption, everything there is, not knowing a goddamn thing about what they're doing in the White House. The good fellas, some people are calling Donald Trump Godfather, the Godfather, you know, the mafia in the White House. Okay. All right. This article, I'm going to read parts of this article on Huffington Post, and it says, we can get it right. The FBI is looking at Jared Kushner, President Donald Trump's son-in-law and an influential White House advisor. Okay. They're looking at Donald Trump's son-in-law and a White House advisor as a part of its investigation into Russian influence into the 2016 election, as I've just got through saying. Kushner has not been accused of any wrongdoing, both outlets noted. Okay? Yet. Put it that way. Yet. Okay. Sources told the Washington Post that Kushner has come under scrutiny because of two meetings with Russian officials in December. One with Russian ambassador to the U.S. And another with a banker. Oh yeah, Trump. I also heard that I think the House just voted. If this is not fake news, the House just voted not to keep hiding Donald Trump's taxes. We got to look more into that. Okay, Trump's son-in-law volunteered to speak with Senate investigators. Good. He is the first person in the Trump administration to want to try to clear things up, whereas everybody else in the Trump administration, including Donald Trump, trying to hide stuff, trying to obstruct, trying to stop things. Trying to stop investigations from going on. Saying Comey is a nut job. You know, this is crazy. It's a lot of nepotism in this White House also. As I just got through saying, Jared Kushner is Donald Trump's son-in-law. He's married to Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka. So investigations are... as I've just got through saying, they are intensifying. And U.S. intelligence officials, okay, that one skipped. U.S. intelligence officials have already concluded that Russia interfered in the U.S. election through hacking with goals of getting Trump elected. I've said this before. If they find out that this guy, if Russia interfered with the election, and they got proof, it says here, I think the election of Donald Trump should be nullified and Hillary Clinton should be made president of the United States, period. That's my opinion, okay? Several officials involved with the Trump campaign, including former national security advisor Michael Flynn and campaign manager Paul Manafort, have also came under scrutiny. Oh yeah, these are Trump backup singers, right? As I would say, backup singers. Yada 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 yada, and it goes on and it goes on. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7 o'clock straight up Chicago time. We're on the north side of the city. It's beautiful. It looks great. It's wonderful, but it's very, very cool. And people are leaving the city of Chicago. People are leaving the state of Illinois. Why? Because of all the damn problems that this city and state are having. And these problems are caused by politicians. They are making life hell here for a lot of people in Chicago. And then they're blaming each other. Blaming each other. I just don't know. I love Chicago. I'm not leaving Chicago, but I don't fault anyone else who wants to go because of the high crime. There's no budget, and it's going on 3 years. There is no budget, and it's going on 3 years. And it's ridiculous when there's no budget. It means you can't spend money. Nobody gets paid. Social agencies start to close down. People start to suffer. People lose jobs. Politicians grin and laugh and want to run for re-election. As I've said earlier into the show, I believe Chicago is the third largest city in America. I think we're going to drop to the fourth largest city in America because of the population decline. People are leaving. And the only people, some of the people, not everybody, but some of the people who are still here in the city of Chicago, especially in those crime-ridden areas, in those poverty areas, thick poverty areas where the, you know, crime is blatant. A lot of those folks stay in those areas because they're poor. These are impoverished areas, and a lot of these folks cannot afford to leave. So they are in the crosshairs of gunfire every night. You know, they can't walk to the store. They can't walk to the park. They can't walk around the corner. They can't enjoy the outside because, you know, young gangbangers with guns are shooting and killing people on those sides of the town. And it's ridiculous. And I keep saying, where the hell is the police? Why aren't they doing their jobs? They're getting paid and people are constantly dying. I'm not saying that the police aren't good for something. I'm pretty sure there is something that they're doing to curb crime. But if you look at the statistics of 2017 compared to the statistics of 2017 and already passed the homicide rate of 2016. And that's ridiculous. Criminals are more sophisticated than ever. They commit their crimes in broad effing daylight. They are so brazen. They don't care anymore. You know, I mean, they're just walking up to people on the streets and robbing them of their phones. And that's why I say people, if you're coming home from work, if you're walking home from school, if you're walking home from the park or the store, make sure you watch, pay attention to your surroundings. Put down that phone. Get your face up out of that phone. As I'm saying, get your face up out of that phone. If a couple just passed by my window and they've got their phone, they got their faces down into their phones. That just reminds me that people are going to look at their phones no matter what. They don't give a damn. They figure that it can't happen to them, okay? And that's one of the things that's going to keep you safe when you're out here on the streets, whether Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, no matter where it is. That's one of the things that's going to keep you safe is to be aware of your environment, be aware of your surroundings, get your face up out of that phone when you're out there on the street. I just saw another guy walk by my window. His face is down into his phone, not paying attention to what is around him. And that is a big mistake. That's a big mistake. You're out here on the street, put that phone in your pocket, be aware of, you're in the city of Chicago, put that phone in your pocket and be aware of your environment, your surroundings, because if the bad guy see that you are paying attention to your surroundings, if the bad guy see that you are ready for anything, if the bad guy feels that you may be armed, they're going to leave you alone. They're not going to mess with you. But if they see you walking up and down the street with your face in your phone, they're going to feel that you're weak, that you're vulnerable. And then they're going to pounce. And there you go. You they're going to knock you in the head, take your phone, take everything you have, because you weren't paying attention to your surroundings. And no matter how much I preach about this on the radio every day, all the time, there's going to be people out here who's going to have their faces down into their phone, walking up and down the street, crossing the street on a light or a stop sign, you know, walking into trees and ditches because they've got their faces in their phones instead of paying attention to their surroundings. Once again, if the bad guy knows that you're paying attention to your surroundings, he is not going to bother you because he knows that you're ready for him. You know, gun or no gun, he knows that you're ready for him. He knows that you probably could be carrying a gun yourself. He knows that you're looking both ways in back of you. You're watching what's in front of you. He notices this. And if you look around and you spot him, he's gonna depart. He's gonna go somewhere else because you spotted him. He's gonna try and work his criminal ways out on someone else. So it pays to pay attention to your surroundings. It pays to keep your face up out of your phone, especially in the city of Chicago, especially on the north side. The north side, when I say the north side, not as far as I am on the north side, but down here in on Lincoln Square near DePaul and a little further north, Evanston, Northwestern University. Because there used to be a lot of young thugs hanging around Northwestern University to try to recruit young girls into prostitution. And I think that has been curtailed, you know, because campus police, they are on the case more so than Chicago police, you know. So that's one of the reasons why crime is low on my side of town, at least in this area where I am, because I'm right next to Loyola University. And there's a lot of young girls, a lot of young people, a lot of college people around here in this vicinity that I live in, and it has to be protected. You know, it has to. People demand protection around here because a lot of thugs that come from the south and west sides of the city and think they're going to try and take it over, take this area over for turf, and it's not going to happen because there's too much around here. You know, I mean, this is what they would call prime real estate. You know, we got all these schools over here, and they want to protect the young ladies and the young people who are attending these colleges and universities in the area that I'm living, you know. So anyway, it's 7:09 straight up Chicago time, PM Central Standard Time. I will not be on the air on Memorial Day. So we're going to be taking some time off for Memorial Day. You know, a lot of people are going to be, you know, I noticed a lot of things. I noticed that a lot of people usually go out of town for Memorial Day. A lot of folks are staying home. And a lot of people are staying put. They're not going anywhere. And I guess there's a number of reasons for that. But there's a lot of folks out here who aren't going anywhere. They're going to do a stay vacation. That means stay home. And yours truly is going to do that too. But we will not be on the air on Memorial Day. We're going to take some time off. I do think I have someone booked for Memorial Day. We're going to have to unbook that because it's a holiday and it should be celebrated. You know what I'm saying? So the George Wilder Jr. Show will not be on Memorial Day, May 2017. In case you're podcasting the show for later or you're listening now, you'll know that not to tune in for a live show on Monday. You can always listen to a rebroadcast of the show. You know, just come to this website and just listen to it. I got about 356 episodes. So any one of those episodes that you listen to while the while the George Wilder Jr. Show is on holiday, you can podcast, even this show, you can podcast this particular show and download and listen to it while, you know, while we're out, you're out, everybody's out enjoying the holiday. But I know one thing for Memorial Day, there's going to be a lot of people in the park barbecuing. If it doesn't rain, okay, it might rain and that's going to spoil a lot of people's parade. It may rain, and we've had enough rain. Lord knows we've had quite a bit of rain, but you know, it's one of them rainy seasons, I guess. All right. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm having such a good time, folks. I am having such a great time. And the George Wilder Jr. Show will celebrate an anniversary in August. In August 2017, we're going to celebrate an anniversary, and I do hope that you are there to help
celebrate.
You are
now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Example of why you just cannot make this stuff up. Now, when Russian officials visited the White House last week, the new guy decided, hey, I'm gonna share some classified information about ISIS with them. We got this information from a highly sensitive source. Now, do you remember the way he felt about, I don't know, say Hillary? And classified information, because yeah. MSNBC reminded everybody this morning. Do take a look.
She lied about passing on classified information, right? In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. She said she sent nothing more classified. A total lie. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. Put classified information in the reach of our enemies. They're so classified, they're beyond classified. And maybe classified at the highest, highest level.
So now he defended himself in a tweet this morning. Saying he has
a tweet.
I know. You can't just doesn't get any better than this. And it says he has absolute right to do that. And apparently he does.
Yeah.
But one wonders, like, if you are the new guy and you got a pile of papers and they say classify, 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 you then as president can say, well, I'm declassifying this and I'm going to tell you everything that's in it. Yeah. Now, nobody is there saying, well, hold up a second, because this is why we've deemed this classified. So what is the real issue here?
Well, that Russia doesn't have to work so hard to discover anything. We'll just tell them. Like, they used to have to hack us. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think that that the people who created our government expected to have a blabbermouth in the White House. It's like Ralph Cramden,
yes,
you know?
I remember that.
You're a blabbermouth. Yeah. He opens it. They didn't expect that. So they expected the president to have the wherewithal to not say something like that to the so-called enemies, right. Certainly
His
rivals.
Justification for this is that we are partners with Russia on the issue of combating ISIS.
Since and when? I thought we were... What? What? Well, we are on with Russia. We're off with Russia.
On this particular issue of combating terrorism, the reason Russia's complicated is because, as we know, Russia is fueling Assad over
well,
in
yeah,
Syria,
yeah, that's
which
the
is
issue.
A massive
yeah.
genocide. So my question was not whether or not he has the right to share this classified information. He's president, and what you said before
yes.
is correct. He has the right to declassify
right.
stuff and at will share it. My concern was, do you trust Russia with that information? Because Russia may be our ally, you know, I use that very, very lightly, on the issue of combating terrorism, but they're certainly not our ally in other areas, and you don't want them to necessarily know how we get our intel and what that looks like that they could then use against us and our, you know, in other regions of the world.
I just don't understand how you share classified information with...
He declassified it.
Well, he declassified. Some people say he didn't even declassify
well,
it.
He said this ain't classified no more.
Yeah, he read it classified. Let me share it. Right,
I don't understand how you share it with the very country that your country is investigating for collusion with your administration.
But you know
that I don't understand.
When?
But one other thing is that, you know, Dave Chappelle... says that he regrets telling people to give Trump a chance on
right.
SNL. Remember that famous monologue
uh-huh.
where he said, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, I'm going to give him a chance, and we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he gives us one too. And I was on the same page with that during our special
Not
on
me.
Election night.
Not
when
you.
When Candace Cameron Bure said that she had voted for Trump,
right.
I was like, you know what, he's my president now, I'm going to give him a chance. I am scared to death
you
now.
Know,
like, I
the
don't
question,
think I can give him that
The question
chance.
Is, when will the Republican Party turn on him? I mean, they are suddenly, there's a few rumblings. For instance, I read this morning that Ann Coulter has turned on him. She called him grotesque.
Yeah.
Now, last week she was on the show. She wrote a book called In Trump We Trust.
Yes, she
Not,
did.
The next book will be, In, we don't, I changed my mind. In Trump I Don't Trust.
Well, and he just
wait a second. And there was something about, on a Morning Joe, saying that Kellyanne Conway, behind the scenes, was saying, I have to take a shower after I'm with Trump. And then she goes out there and you know, lies for him. Omarosa, you're next, baby.
What he did also potentially jeopardize another country and or officers on the ground,
yeah.
people that are doing undercover work.
Yes.
It might have compromised the mission itself, and it
yeah.
also compromised any future intel, people's willingness
yes.
to share information if you know you have someone loose-lipped in an office.
Yeah.
So
exactly. on your hands.
And
that's
it,
all
it
I'm saying. Because
issue.
People, well, it puts
our
people's
safety.
Lives in
exactly.
danger.
Potentially.
It puts people.
Potentially.
Well, it does.
We don't know what he said.
But
I mean,
listen,
I don't know what he
here's
said
the
in that
thing.
Meeting.
You remember Valerie Plame? Remember
yeah.
when she was,
yes.
okay.
CIA.
We didn't know what kind of danger, but we knew she was in danger. When you give people information that they would not normally have, that you keep close to your vest, and suddenly you're telling everybody, it endangers everyone. It endangers the person who's saying, listen, I just need to let you know, blah,
yes.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
It endangers these guys who are surreptitiously going through trying to make sure that you don't see them trying to protect stuff. It potentially is dangerous to those who are fighting to keep our
But we know it's even bigger than that, though. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to all of us because it's being reported that he shared with Russia this information about terrorist attacks on airplanes, right? And so if that country that gave us that information is no longer willing to share intelligence with us, every time I put my kid on the plane, then he or she is in danger. All of us are in danger because of what this
president is. But the first, you know, listen, the truth of the matter is we're in danger on those planes no matter what, okay? We're in danger no matter what. But my feeling is the people who are working their tails off in these little bitty countries who are trying to, like, make sure everything is straight, everything is right, you know, they're not getting paid all that well. Our military is not paid all that well. That's and you see how we treat folks when they come back.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that if military folks are giving us information from other countries, I want to make sure that we take care of them.
Yeah.
But if you recall, months and months ago, they're talking about Dave Chappelle changing his mind about him. Well, he was a blabbermouth then. He gave out Lindsey Graham's phone number.
That's
remember
right.
that? He can't help himself. He wants everyone to love him, to like
don't
him.
You wanna,
the Russians, he wants them to like
don't
him
you
and
you
see
want
how smart
your
he
president,
is.
Though? Don't you want to feel
he's
confident that your president is
you know what? Let me tell you something
he's
about
a man
support.
Baby.
Let me tell you about support.
All right, ladies. Okay. All right. Trump travel ban blocked. For I think this is a third time that it's been blocked, which is a good thing. And now they're saying that he may take this fight all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, to the Supreme Court. Okay. President Donald Trump's revised. Yeah. This is two or three times it's been blocked. Speaks with vague words of national security, but in context, drips with religious intolerance and discrimination. A federal appeals court said Thursday, today, in ruling against the executive order targeting six Muslim majority countries. And now Trump's administration vowed to take the fight to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, this is the third time Trump is going to try to get this through. But, you know, what pisses Trump off is that he has to go through all of this, these steps to get this done. He doesn't like it. He hates it. Trump wants to, whatever he says, whatever he does, to go through without any scrutiny from anybody, judges, or or anything, courts, the Constitution. He wants nothing to do with any of those things. When he says what he wants to do and what he wants to do, he wants it done immediately. He don't give a damn about Congress or judges or the Supreme Court. He wants what he wants done. He doesn't seem like he should be second guessed on something, some issue pertaining to the United States, because he's president. I'm the president. What I say goes. I mean, one of his surrogates, some skinny little guy, white guy, skinny guy, he was all over the television at one point, all over the talk shows, and he was demanding that Trump, that these damn judges let him do what he needs to do, stop suing him, stop interrupting, stop interfering with what Trump wants to do, because Trump should be able to do what he wants to do because Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Yeah, he was very forceful when he was saying something like that. Very forceful young man. And we all were calling him stupid and dumb and crazy and not knowing or giving a damn about the United States Constitution of America. And that's what it is with Trump. He wants carte blanche authority. He wants to be a dictator. What he say goes, regardless. But it doesn't work like that in America. And it's not going to work like that in America. Because at the taping of this show, the recording of this show, he's more likely will be impeached. If not by Congress, then by the American people. And that's the truth. If not by Congress, then by the American people, because we have the power. If these jackasses don't do what we want them to do, we vote them out. And I'm just hoping November 2018 that America stand up and vote for your congressman, vote for your governor, vote for your senator, not only the president of the United States. You got to give your president somebody to work with. Donald Trump has the Republicans. Of this date, the Democrats control absolutely nothing. But that doesn't mean they should be silent about the atrocities that the Republicans are causing all around the country. Doesn't mean that they have to be silent. They are very, very vocal and forceful. I mean, Obama's out there, but he's not as vocal or as forceful. And we need a little bit more from Obama if he's going to try and do something, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, tuning in. We're going to be off on Memorial Day, so feel free to listen to any downloaded show or podcast of the George Wilder Jr. Show and pretend when you're podcasting the George Wilder Jr. Show, you're listening online. You're listening online and you're listening to a rebroadcast of one of the shows, of one of the many shows that I've done. Just imagine that it's live. Okay. All right. And I want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
George Wilder Jr. Show. We will not be on the air come May 29th. We're going to be celebrating Memorial Day just like you are. Thanks for listening. Thanks. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. The show is now off the air. Bye-bye, everybody, and thanks a lot for listening. Bye.
Thanks to this new rapid